Professor Shabir Mahdi, vaccinologist, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
So is it possible to offer other people's kids for this trial?
I'm afraid not, however much of a nuisance it might be. Unfortunately, it's going to be referred to the legal guardian. If they need to consent.
Yeah, they just need to do a better job. I think that's what one of our listeners is saying. But either way, let's just talk more seriously about this. It was announced yesterday. The trial's beginning today. Give us some context here.
So it seems that Sinovac has decided to do a study in children from 6 months to 18 years. And it is a bit of a surprise. Especially going down as low as 6 months. So Pfizer is an example. It has evaluated the vaccine in children 12 to 18 years. And there are other companies that are also looking at 12 to 18 years, and in fact, some that are looking at children 5 years and above. Now, I think the main issue when it comes to COVID-19 vaccines in children is that the main reason you would be vaccinating children is not so much for individual benefits, because generally the majority of infections that occur in children are asymptomatic, and in fact children rarely end up in hospital unless they've got some sort of underlying medical condition. So the main reason you would be wanting to vaccinate children is to try to reduce the amount of virus that is transmitting in the community. And what we know of the vaccines against the Delta variant is that the vaccine still works in reducing the amount of transmission that's taking place. But that's in the region of about 50% or so, as compared to what's close on to 80-90% lower risk of transmitting when you infect it with the Alpha variant and you get a Pfizer vaccine as an example. So the summary of it is, yes, it is necessary to do studies in children, especially children above 5 years of age and certainly above 12 years of age. But again, to emphasize, it's important just to consider the risk-benefit ratio. Because children generally do develop extremely mild and some most often are completely asymptomatic when they're infected with the virus.
And why would it be that South Africa would offer to be part of this? Is there an advantage to the country?
The advantage to the country is that it means that you've got local data. And it's always important to have local data to understand how well a vaccine will work in your own context. So certainly that is an extremely important reason to be involved, in addition to which, on occasion, it also assists the companies in eventually being able to register the product in the country, because some countries, not necessarily South Africa, do insist that some component of the clinical trials actually be undertaken in that particular setting. So both in terms of having data that is locally relevant, as well as in assisting for the licensure of the vaccine, in that context, it is important to be involved in this clinical trial.
Isn't it just slightly odd? I know that there was some confusion around SAHPRA approving Sinovac, but then saying, no, they've approved it subject to still receiving further documentation. So I wasn't quite sure if that was a political move or not, given the pressure that they were under. Either way, it isn't fully approved in South Africa, and yet we're testing it on children.
When you're doing clinical trials, usually it wouldn't be approved in the country. And that's one of the reasons why you can do what you call placebo-controlled trials. Mm. Once the vaccine is approved, especially for a specific group, then you wouldn't be able to do this sort of randomized controlled trials. But I think the issue of SAHPRA and Sinovac as well as Sputnik V is that they've requested of the manufacturers to provide some additional information. At a time when those applications were lodged, there wasn't too much data as to how well the vaccines would work against the beta variant, and in an HIV population as an example. So SAHPRA required the manufacturers to produce some level of evidence as to how the vaccine would work in that context of the beta variant circulating. And I'm not too sure whether that was eventually submitted to the regulatory authority.
Do you think it's likely that Sinovac is going to become one of the vaccines on offer here in South Africa? Or do you think we'll just continue the way we are with Johnson and with the Pfizer?
I think it's important to have more options than just one or two vaccines, because as we've seen with J&J, if there's some issue that happens with manufacturing, it can set the rollout of the vaccine in South Africa quite back. It can set back the role of the vaccine. So it is important to have more than two vaccines, whether it's Sputnik V, Sinovac, Novavax. I think any vaccine that has potential to be able to protect, especially against severe disease and death, is important to have available. So so that we can make it so that we don't have any issues when it comes to security of supply moving forward.
Really, really fascinating. How long do these results generally, when they test, when they do one of these tests as they are doing on kids, how long does it normally take before we start to get a sense of what's what?
Yeah, so this particular study, I think it's planning on enrolling about 14,000 children across 5 countries. They probably would be able to enroll in a space of about 3 to 4 months based on what we experienced with our clinical trials in South Africa and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And after that, it depends how soon children start getting infected to the virus. So the way you decide to unblind and to do an analysis is once you've got a certain number of cases of infection in the children, then you're able to determine whether the vaccine actually does protect against whatever disease, the spectrum of disease you're trying to measure. So I would estimate probably between 6 to 9 months before you would get results from the study.